إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our seventh and final session, dealing with the topic, A'azam al-Dua, Dua al-Fatiha, the greatest dua, that dua which is contained in Surah al-Fatiha by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we start the reading for our final session, we want to go back and review quickly some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide number 6. The first question being, what is it that corrupts or makes ineffective the wa'idh, yani the admonisher from Allah in the heart of every Muslim? So the Shaykh, he said, yani in discussing this topic, yani the wa'idh that was mentioned in the mathal that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave about Islam being a straight path and having walls on the sides of it and a door in those walls with curtains hanging from it, and he explained the meaning of all these things, and he said that there was a caller at the head of the road, that is the Book of Allah, and a caller within the road or above the road, and that was the wa'idh that's in the heart of every Muslim. He went on to say that this wa'iz is there to warn and to call to the attention of the believer, yani when they are going into a dangerous situation. However, that wa'iz can be spoiled, can be corrupted, can be made ineffective if that person is constantly engaged in sin. Then, yani the wa'iz, yani that is supposed to help him and to warn him, will become ineffective. So this is something of great importance that we should know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a da'i, yani warning us, that's within our hearts. But that da'i, that warner, that wa'idh, yani can be made inoperative, ineffective, if we constantly engage and become engrossed and absorbed in those things that Allah has forbidden. The second question discussed the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which demonstrates how the heart becomes blackened. This hadith is related to the wa'idh that's mentioned in the parable of Islam being a sirat. And the Shaykh mentioned this hadith wherein Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person commits a sin, then a black spot appears on their heart. If they withdraw from that sinning and seek Allah's forgiveness and repent to Allah, then their heart will become polished clean from that spot. However, if they return to sinning and repeatedly commit sins, then the black spots, yani, will increase until they overcome the person's heart to the extent that they would no longer recognize good as being good, nor would they reject evil as being evil. Meaning, then, yani, the heart, yani, wouldn't benefit them. The Prophet ﷺ said that this blackness that covers the heart is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran when he said that, yani, their hearts have been covered due to that which they used to earn, meaning their sins. Their sins covered their heart so that it didn't function. The third question explained the two different indications of hudud in Surah Al-Baqarah, 229th ayat, and Surah Al-Baqarah, 187th ayat. The first ayat, the Shaykh, he says that in the parable that the Prophet ﷺ gave us about Islam being a sirat, he said that there are walls on both sides of it, and those are the hudud of Allah. Meaning, those are the boundaries within which things are permissible. So one should not, what? فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. Don't go beyond them. Don't go outside of those hudud of what is permissible. And then he went on to say that in those walls there are doors with curtains hanging from them, and behind those curtains are the maharam of Allah. And these are the hudud of Allah that a person should not, فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا, should not go near to. So these are the two meanings that the Shaykh mentioned concerning the hudud of Allah. Yani, the two different meanings of hudud Allah. Yani, the hudud, yani, of what is permissible, that one should not go beyond it, outside of it. And the hudud of that which is haram, and one should not even go near to it. The fourth question, there is not one of you, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of which is, there is not one of you except will pass over it, that is the hellfire. This is with your Lord a decree which must be accomplished. And in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 71st and 72nd ayah. This ayah, the author used it as a proof of what?
And everyone has to pass over.
That there is a sirat that everyone has to pass over. Just like in this world, Islam is a sirat, a way that people have to travel upon in order to reach the destination of returning to Allah, yani in a condition of being pleasing to Him, so that they will enter the paradise. So likewise, there's also a sirat on Yawm al-Qiyamah that is put over the hellfire, and every person, yani, who would enter the paradise has to cross over it. So he mentioned, yani, this particular ayat as a proof or as an indication that there's a sirat also in the next life that everyone would have to cross over, yani, in order to enter into paradise. The fifth question, list three obstacles, or the three obstacles in the way of one who is traveling upon a sirat al-mustaqim. And the Shaykh mentioned them as
shirk, bid'ah,
and ma'asiyah. Now, so he said that these are the obstacles that will be in the way of a person traveling upon a sirat al-mustaqim. Yani, it's not just a path that you travel upon and there are no hindrances, no impediments, no obstacles. Rather, there are obstacles. The greatest of them is shirk, yani, making something as an equal or a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which is His exclusive right. And then there's bid'ah, innovation in the deen of Allah, yani, things that have been invented that have no basis in the Qur'an nor in the authentic sunnah. And then he mentioned ma'asiyah, yani, acts of disobedience to Allah in that which He has commanded us with or that which He has prohibited us from. These are obstacles, real obstacles in the way of a person who's traveling this path that will hinder his travel, that will obstruct the road, and that may cause a person to fall off the path. And the final question discussed the seven ways mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah through which shaitan desires to overcome the human being. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, we read from last week in some detail what he mentioned, that the shaitan, yani, tries to hinder the person who is upon the straight path in different ways. And he mentioned seven ways that shaitan used to obstruct the person, to cause them, yani, to be distracted or to cause them to get off of the straight path. The first of them being a shirk. The first of them being a shirk. And this is the most beloved and the best of the things that shaitan would like to get the person to engage in, a shirk, because this is the worst thing that a person can do. But if he's unable to get the person to commit shirk, then he said the next thing that he would try is
bid'ah.
Because bid'ah is more beloved to shaitan even than a person committing sins, greater sins or lesser sins. And that is because bid'ah, the person who is committing it, thinks that what he is doing is good, and therefore he's not likely to repent from it. He doesn't feel that he's doing anything wrong, whereas the person who's committing sin knows that he's sinning, and he might, yani, be inclined to, yani, repent. After this, he said, the third thing, and if he can't get the person to engage in bid'ah, then he said, the greater sins. Try to get him to commit the kaba'ir. But if he couldn't get him to do that, then he would try to get him to engage in the lesser sins, the sagair. And if he couldn't get him to do any of those things, not shirk, nor bid'ah, nor the kaba'ir or the sagair, then the next thing that he would try to do, and the levels of their, yani, dangerousness. He said the next thing that he would try to do is to get the person to be preoccupied with permissible things. Yani the things that are mubah, that are permissible, to occupy that person from engaging in that which would be of benefit him. Yani the acts of worship or the acts of ta'at, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will benefit them. If he can't get the person to, he can't distract the person from the acts of obedience and acts of worship by engaging the person in permissible things, the next thing that he would try to do is, he would try to get the person to be occupied with, yani, those things that are less virtuous, yani al-mafdool, so that he would distract the person from that which is more virtuous, the fadl. So, if he can't get the person to do this, then finally he said that what he would do is that he would send against that person one of his soldiers to cause harm to that person in the cause of Allah. One of the brothers asked a question, what is meant by causing harm? And it's general. It's general that shaitan would cause the people who worship him, who obey him, who are his followers and his soldiers, he would cause those people to cause harm to a person who's striving on the straight path, who didn't engage in shirk, who didn't engage in bid'ah, nor in the major, yani the lesser or greater sins. Yani he finally would try at least to cause harm to that person in some kind of way, whatever would be harmful to that person, whether it would be loss of life, or harm to their health, or their family, or their children, or their wealth, whatever he could do. Perhaps he would have, yani, the evil people in the society who control the society imprison that person, or physically harm that person, or cause harm to their family, or whatever, or take their wealth or their property. But he would have those people who are with him, who are obedient to him, to cause harm to the servant of Allah, yani, in the cause of Allah, while that person is trying to do something for the sake of Allah. This is the end of what we talked about last week. And tonight, inshallah, we want to conclude with this topic, which is what remains is the second half or the remaining points that the Shaykh made concerning the obstacles that are in the path of the one traveling ala siratul mustaqim, the obstacles. And the last topic, which the Shaykh mentions briefly, is who are the people of the straight path? Yani man ahlu as-siratul mustaqim. So we're going to finish the topic from last week, the awa'iq, the obstacles in the path of those who are traveling ala siratul mustaqim, and then we're going to close with yani his brief discussion concerning who are the ahl siratul mustaqim. Before we do that, I just want to remind us that yani we have previously discussed the station or the status of this great supplication contained in Surah Al-Fatiha, that is ihdina siratul mustaqim, to the end of the surah. This supplication is, the as the scholars of the sunnah said, it is the most important thing that a person can ask Allah for. It is incumbent upon us to be conscious of that, to be aware of it while we are reciting Al-Fatiha, to try to be conscious of every word in that surah or whatever we are reciting from the Quran or the adhkar or the ad'iyah that we recite in salat, in qiyam or in ruku or in any part of the prayer. It is incumbent upon us to be conscious of everything that we are saying, but more so this supplication that a person should recite it from their heart with consciousness of its meaning, having hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them to the straight path and keep them firm and steadfast upon it until they reach the destination in a condition or state of being pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what the Shaykh says here, additionally to what we mentioned previously about the al-awaiq al-thalatha, the three obstacles that are in the path of a person traveling on as-sirat al-mustaqim, that is ash-shirk and bid'ah and ma'asiyah, he said it is obligatory upon every Muslim man and every Muslim woman أن يحذر منها أشد الحذر, that they take every precaution that is possible, every extreme precaution that is possible to avoid these obstacles of shirk and bid'ah and ma'asiyah. وأن يخاف على نفسه من الوقوع فيها, and that a person should fear for themselves that they might fall into these things. Nobody should imagine that this is for the other people, not me. Rather, it could happen to anyone. Even Ibrahim alayhi salam, he feared, he asked Allah to protect him and his children from a shirk. Then what about us? We should fear falling into shirk. We should fear falling into bid'ah. Don't imagine that we are the people of sunnah, we're not going to be engaging in bid'ah. Rather, it is only the success that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our seeking knowledge to know what is shirk and what is bid'ah and what is tawheed and what is the sunnah can save us from falling into these things. And every human being is subject to sin, as the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ بَانِي آدَمْ خَطَّاعُونَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّاعِينَ التوابون. So every human being commits sins, and the best of them is those who repent. Let us try to avoid those sins, whether they are the greater sins or the lesser sins, and if we fall into them, and that is inevitable, then we should turn to Allah with sincere repentance, feeling remorse for what we have done, making firm resolve not to return to it. The Shaykh says that we should fear falling into these things, and that we should follow the guidance and the directions that concerning these matters that came in Surah Al-Fatiha, and that came in the Quran throughout it, and that came in the Sunnah of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was said to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, أَخْبِرْنَا مَتْ تَقْوَى. Inform us, what is a taqwa? So he said to the one who had asked him, هَلْ سَلَكْتَ طَرِيقًا ذَا شَوْكٍ. Have you traveled upon a path or upon a road that contains thorns? The man said yes. He said, كَيْفَ تَصْنَعُ. So what do you do when you travel upon a path that contains thorns? He said, if I see the thorn, أَمْشِي عَنْهُ يَمِينًا أَوْ يَسَارًا. Then I go to the right of it, or I go to the left of it. Yani to avoid it. And I take every precaution not to step upon the thorn, yani for the harm that it would cause to one. Then Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, هَذِهِ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. Yani this is how it is with the one who has taqwa of Allah. That, yani they try to avoid that which would harm them. In this case, he said, yani what we mean here is that the person should take every precaution to avoid, in taqwa, not to avoid thorns, but rather to avoid that which is more harmful and more damaging to the human being, and that is a shirk and bid'ah and ma'asiyah. So the one who is traveling upon the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to protect themselves from these things and to take every precaution to avoid them. It was said, يَقُولُ بَعْدُ السَّلَفِ كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. Yani how can a person protect themself from that which, yani if they don't know what to protect themselves from? Yani if a person doesn't know what is harmful, what is the thing that they need to avoid, how would they protect themselves from it? So then the Shaykh says, فَأَنْتَ مُطَالَبْ أَنْ تَعْرِفَ الشِّرْكْ مَا هُوَ. So we are required, yani it is upon us to know what is shirk, to know what is bid'ah, innovation, to know what is al-kabira, yani the greater sins as well as the lesser sins. And that is so that we may protect ourselves from them. It has been said, he said, كَمَا قَالَ مَنْ قَالَ عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ لَا لِلشَّرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِّيهِ وَمَنْ لَا يَعْرِفَ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعَ فِيهِ. Yani that I knew, I came to know, I learned about evil, not to do it, but rather to protect myself from it. And whoever doesn't know the difference between evil and good, whoever doesn't know evil from good, then they will fall into it. Yani if a person doesn't know that this is something evil, then it is most likely that they will fall into it. This saying has been narrated in different books with different wording, but basically having the same meaning. The Shaykh says, كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَقَعُوا فِي أُمُورٍ هِيَ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ السَّرَّاحِ وَالْكُفْرِ الْبَوَاحِ. Yani that many of the people have fallen into affairs which are, yani, clear, obvious, evident shirk, and which are clear kufr, بِسَبَبِ الْجَهْلِ المطبق بدين الله تبارك وتعالى. يعني many of the people fell into that which is clear shirk, and it's evident, it's obvious shirk, and it's open clear kufr, but they fell into it. Why? Due to their يعني utter absolute ignorance of the deen of Allah تبارك وتعالى. Many of the people fell into innovations and that which is in opposition to the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم due to their ignorance of the deen. يعني how many of the people engaged in something intending by it to be a means of nearness to Allah, an act of worship, but because they didn't have knowledge of the sunnah, so they worshipped Allah in a way that was based upon bid'ah. Based upon bid'ah. Only due to what? the ignorance of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see it all the time, wherever we go. We see the way that people pray. We observe the people, how they worship Allah, how they do different things in Islam. And we see that due to ignorance of the sunnah, people are constantly falling into bid'ah, due to the ignorance of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many people fall into sins and acts of disobedience to Allah. Most of that is due to the ignorance of the deen of Allah. وَلِهَذَا أَوَّلُ مَا يُطْلَبُ مِنَ الْإِنسَانِ فِي الدِّينِ طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ حَتَّى يَعْرِفَ دِينَهُ. So for this reason, the first thing that is required of a person in this deen is that they seek knowledge. So that, in order that they would know the deen, and so that they would know the haqq, and so that they would know what is al-huda. Sometimes people are agitated and aggravated with the constant call and encouragement to seek knowledge. And there are actually some groups of Muslims who discourage people from seeking knowledge. They said, just go out with us, we're going out and we're doing good, and you learn about the deen, yani, as you go out with us in the path of Allah. And they discourage people from knowledge. And it is this discouragement from knowledge that keeps people ignorant, that enables them to be misguided and misled away from the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is incumbent upon a person who entered into Islam newly or who was a Muslim all their life to seek knowledge so that they will know what is true, what is right guidance and what is not. For this reason, the person begins with knowledge before speaking and before acting. A person has to have knowledge. And this is as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Therefore, know, yani have knowledge of this reality, that there's nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And then, after having knowledge, yani Allah says, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and seek, yani forgiveness for your sin and for the believing men and the believing women. This is in Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, 19th Ayah. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله بدع بالعلم قبل القول والعمل. يعني الإمام البخاري, he said concerning this ayat that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, began with knowledge before speech and action. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Know first, have knowledge that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And then after that, there's speech. And then after that, there's action, seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or other than that. Imam al-Bukhari said, he began with knowledge before speech and action. What kind of speech would come from a person who doesn't have knowledge? Ignorant speech. What kind of action would come from a person who doesn't have knowledge? Ignorant action. So therefore, it is incumbent that a person first has to have knowledge of a thing before they speak about it, or before they act upon it. The Shaykh says, فَأَنْتَ مُطَالَبٌ أَنْ تَعْرِفَ هَذِهِ الْعَوَائِقَ الثَّلَاثَ. So it is incumbent upon you, it is required of you, that you know these three obstacles, الشرك and البدعه and المعصيه, so that you would take precaution from them, and so that you will avoid them, and so that you will warn your children and those who you are responsible for from falling into them. Yani, not only protect yourself, but also you have to educate and teach and remind and encourage your children and those who you are responsible for. Yani, warn them against these things to protect them from it. The Shaykh, he mentions here the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Luqman, 31st Surah, 13th Ayat, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانَ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. And remember when Luqman said to his son, while he was admonishing him, while he was, yani, warning him, while he was teaching him, he said, oh my dear son, do not engage in making something as an equal or a partner or a rival with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shirk. What if you said to your son one day, oh my son, don't commit shirk. فَقَالَ لَكَ إِبْنُكَ وَمَا الشِّرْكَ الَّذِي نَحَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And what if your son said back to you, so what is this shirk that Allah has prohibited us from? Would it be befitting of you in this situation that you didn't know what is shirk? The reality of this affair is that it is of extreme importance. There is no escape from it. That we must learn about these things. We must know what is shirk. What are the different types of shirk? The levels of shirk. The ways that a person falls into it and how to avoid it. And from the greatest things that protects a person from shirk is knowing what is tawheed. In the same way that from the greatest things that protects a person from innovation is knowing the sunnah. Here, from here until the end of this particular topic, the obstacles, the shaykh, he talks about, may Allah protect and preserve him, he talks about a shirk, the dangers of shirk, yani the seriousness of this affair, and yani what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of, yani the consequences of a person falling into a shirk. He says here, no one who has fallen into shirk, in yani generally speaking, has fallen into it except due to ignorance. Yani a Muslim doesn't engage in shirk while he has knowledge of the affair. Mostly, the person who falls into shirk is due to ignorance. I myself can say that in different countries that I have visited, whether it was in the Arab lands, or in Africa, or in Asia, we found the people who were engaging in open, clear shirk. When I went to Egypt, I was stunned to see in masjids, not one masjid, in masjids, where there are graves that people are worshipping. When I went to India, when I went to Pakistan, I saw masjids where there are graves, where people are worshipping, graves, dead people, and people are praying to them, giving charity for those people, or whatever, making sacrifices for them. In amongst Muslims, in India, there's a place where Muslims and Hindus and Christians all go together to worship a tree. Open, obvious, clear shirk. The only way that people can engage in this is due to ignorance of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No person, generally speaking, falls into shirk except due to ignorance. Especially, وَلَا سِيَمَا مَا كَثْرَةِ الشُّبُهَاتِ الَّتِي تَعِسُفُ بِالجُّهَالِ. Yani especially with the abundance of shubuhat, the doubtful matters that yani cause the ignorant people to blow from one direction to another, yani to shake them up and make them unstable and to turn them away from the deen of Allah. The shubuhat, the matters that people bring forth to the ignorant to confuse them about what is the truth and what is falsehood, about what is right guidance and what is misguidance, about what is the sunnah and what is bid'ah. Yani shubuhat, doubtful matters that they use on the ignorant people who don't know better. Isn't it from the most tremendous of disasters and the most overwhelming of calamities that you find amongst those who identify themselves with Islam? Yani the shaykh, he used the word here, al-muntasibina ila al-Islam. He didn't call them Muslims, though they may be Muslims, but he said those who identify themselves with Islam. And then you find them raising their hands in a manner of raising hands that is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They raise their hands in supplication and then they call out, Madad ya fulan, aghithni ya fulan, adrikni ya fulan, ilhaqni ya fulan. Subhanallah, ain Allah, ain al-tawheed, ain al-bara'atu min al-shirk. ما سبب وقوع أمثال هؤلاء في أمثال هذه الشركيات أعاذنا الله وإياكم إلا الجهل بدين الله. Yani people who identify themselves as Muslims raising their hand saying, oh so and so, save me, protect me, yani guard me, yani rescue me, oh so and so, yani human beings they are calling on, asking them to protect them, to save them, to help them, yani to grant them refuge from some harm that they feared. The shaykh said, subhanallah, where is Allah in the mind of this person who calls himself a Muslim and yet when he's in trouble he calls upon yani who? Ya Badawi. Yani subhanallah, how does a person call upon a human being and they call themselves a Muslim when they're in trouble. How do they call upon a human being? This doesn't happen except due to jahil, yani ignorance of the deen of Allah. And due to the shubuhat, the misleading shubuhat that have been fed to them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in a hadith that's reported by Imam Ahmad and Shaykh al-Albani, said that it's sahih in Sahih al-Jami'. إِنَّ أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الْأَمَّةُ الْمُضِلُّونَ. Yani the thing that I fear most for you are those imams, those leaders who misguide people, who mislead people. Yani they are considered to be religious leaders, yani of the Muslims, and they are misleading the people, yani away from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do these imams of misguidance, what do? يُزَيِّنُونَ الْبَاطِلِ Yani they adorn falsehood, yani to make it attractive. وَيُلَبِّسُونَ عَلَى النَّاسِ And they make, yani the affairs unclear. They confuse the people in issues that are crystal clear in the Quran and in the Sunnah. وَيُصَوِّرُونَ لَهُمْ الضَّلَالِ بِسُورَةُ الْهُدَى And they paint a picture of misguidance, yani they put it in the image of guidance and make it appear as though it is right guidance. So the people fall into deviation and the people fall into all types of shirk and the people fall into innovation and into those things that cause them to be lost from the true path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is for this reason that it is obligatory upon the abd who wants to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take extreme caution, to observe extreme caution from these things, especially al-shirk and al-bid'ah and every type of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the shaykh talks about, yani, how serious is this matter of al-shirk? Didn't we know that this shirk is the most dangerous of all sins, and it is the most severe of all sins? Didn't we know what it is and how serious it is? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in clarification of the dangerousness of shirk, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 48th Ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ That indeed, certainly, surely Allah will not forgive that someone makes shirk, yani that they commit shirk, that they associate, make something as an equal or a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which is His exclusive right. But He forgives whatever is less than that, yani anything other than that, to whomever He wills. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive the person who commits shirk if they die upon it. If a person repents, Allah forgives whatever a person committed. But if a person dies upon shirk, Allah will not forgive it. Anything other than that, whether it was يعني zina or qatl or whatever sin a person committed, Allah may forgive them if He wills. As far as shirk, Allah will not forgive shirk. That's how serious it is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 72nd Ayah, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ That indeed, certainly, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes it. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ Whoever falls into shirk, committing an act of shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which they didn't repent from and they died upon it, then Allah has made it haram for that person to enter the paradise. Allah has made it haram for that person to enter the paradise. And their destination will be definitely the hellfire. And there are no helpers, yani for the zalimeen. Zalimeen here, the mushrikeen. And then the shaykh mentions, amongst many ayats that he could have mentioned here, yani from Surah Al-Zumr, 39th Surah, 65th, 6th and 7th ayat, وَلَقَدْ أُوْهِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ That Allah certainly, definitely has revealed to you, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those before you, meaning the prophets and messengers, alayhi wasallam, before him. We have revealed to you and those before you, لَإِنْ أَشْرَقْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ that indeed if you had committed shirk, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, as well as the Prophets before him, ﷺ, if you had committed shirk, then your deeds would have been, yani, destroyed. And you would definitely be from amongst the losers. بَلِ اللَّهَ فَاعْبُدْ وَكُنْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. But rather, one should only worship Allah and be from amongst those who are grateful, those who are thankful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبَضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. That they have not, meaning the mushriks, مَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ, they haven't given Allah His just due. They haven't, acknowledged, they haven't recognized Allah, His greatness and His majesty, in the way that is due to Him. In the sense that they made equal to Allah the Creator, who is perfect and who has every characteristic of good, they made equal to Him that which from the creation is imperfect and have none of those characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with. Yani, they haven't given Allah His just due, they haven't estimated Allah with a just estimate, and that they have made equal to the Creator something from the creation. The one who is free from imperfection, they have made equal to Him that which is imperfect. مَا قَدْرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. To the extent, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to this extent that the earth, jami'an, all of the levels of the earth will be in the grip of Allah on Yawm Qiyamah. And the samawat, the heavens, all of them will be rolled up in the right hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He, the one who is free from imperfections and most high, described from that which they describe him with or they attribute to him. The Shaykh says, has the one who seeks help in a time of distress in other than Allah, have they given Allah His just due? The one who supplicates to other than Allah when they are in need of something, the one who asks for help or assistance from other than Allah when they are in need of help, or the one who asks for the removal of the harm that has befallen them, or the afflictions that have befallen them from other than Allah when they have been afflicted. Has this person given Allah His just due? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Naml, I think it's 28th surah, 27th surah, 62nd ayat. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْعَرْضِ أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Yani, is not He the only one? Isn't He the only one who responds to the one who is in distress when he calls upon him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there anyone who responds to the one in distress other than Allah? Or who removes the harm or the evil that has befallen them other than Allah? Or who has made you the khulafa in the ard, generations following generations in the earth? Is there any ilah that deserves to be worshipped along with Allah? قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. The Shaykh says, قَلِيلٌ تَذَكُّرُكُمْ. Little is it that you reflect upon this matter. That if you had really, وَلَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَذَكَّرُونَ وَتَتَفَكَّرُونَ وَتَتَدَبَّرُونَ بِالْعَمْرَ لَمَا وَقَعَتُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ. If the people had thought about, had reflected upon, had pondered over this affair of the right of Allah alone to be worshipped, and that no worship should be given to other than Allah, that He is the one deserving of worship alone, if they had reflected upon this, they would not have fallen into that which they had fallen into. Indeed, a shirk, it is أخطر الأمور وأظلم الظلم وليس في الظلم ظلما أعظم منه. It's the most dangerous of all affairs. And it is the most severe of wrong, injustice that can be done. And there is no wrong that is more evil than the wrong of a shirk. And for this reason, ولهذا قال إن الشرك لظلم عظيم, that indeed shirk is a great evil, a great wrong, a great injustice. يعني that a person offers worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meaning of this ayat, the Shaykh says, is which dhulm, يعني is greater than that a person offers worship or offers dua to other than the Khaliq. يَخْلُقُ هُوَ, he alone is the one who creates. وَيَرْزُقُ هُوَ, he is the one alone who gives provisions. وَيُنْعِمُ, يُنْعِمُ هُوَ, وَيَتَفَضَّلُ هُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ, ثُمَّ يُدْعَى غَيْرُهُ, ثُمَّ يُسْأَلُ غَيْرُهُ. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone in creating everything, and he is the only one who gives provisions, and he is the only one who grants his favors, and he is the one who gives freely. And then something other than him would be called upon, or something other than him would be asked for one's needs. It is narrated in an authentic hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. قال سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي ذنب أعظم عند الله, يعني which sin is the most severe, which sin is the greatest in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني is it homosexuality, is it يعني murder, what sin is the greatest sin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك. Yani it is that you make an equal, a rival. You make something as a rival to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while it is He alone who has created you. Pay attention to the saying here, the Shaykh is saying in this hadith, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you make a rival for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَهُوَ خَلَقَكَ, while He alone is the one who has created you. That is, He is yani by Himself in the creation of you and in bringing you into existence from nothing. This alone is sufficient as a proof of the obligation of singling Him out alone for worship. Yani Allah's rububiyyah, yani the scholars of the Sunnah say that tawheed al-rububiyyah yastalzim tawheed al-ubudiyyah, that it is tawheed al-rububiyyah that the pagans acknowledge that Allah is the one who created them, that requires and necessitates of them to yani single Him out alone for worship. Therefore, nothing other than Him should be supplicated to, and nothing other than Him should be called upon, and nothing other than Him should be asked for help when one is in distress, and no one other than Him should be depended upon or relied upon, and no one other than Him should be asked for help or aid or victory, and nothing other than Him, nothing should be taken as a nid or a sharik, yani as a rival or a partner, as an equal to Him. Not even an angel from the angels that are nearest to Him, nor a prophet who has been sent by Him, nor a wali, a person who has iman and taqwa, nor other than that. Nothing should be set up as a rival or a partner or equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِأَنَّ الْعِبَادَ حَقٌ لِلْخَالِقِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى, because worship is the exclusive, absolute right of the Creator alone, Tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 22nd ayat, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, and do not make for Allah rivals or equals or partners while you know. Yani this ayat came in a series of ayats in Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the people to worship Him. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, يعني all people worship your Rabb. This ayah, from the beginning of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying worship your Rabb because He is your Rabb. يعني worship Him because He is the Rabb. If you acknowledge that He is the only creator, then He's the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And then Allah begins to describe يعني what are the characteristics or the actions of the Rabb who is deserving of this worship. He is the one who created you and those before you. He is the one who made the earth as a resting place for you, and He made the heavens above you, and He sent down rain from the heavens and brought forth yani provisions, crops from the earth as provisions for you. And then Allah said, the one who does all of this, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So therefore don't make something as a rival or as an equal to Allah while you know. While you know that He is the only creator and He is the only provider and He is the only one who does these things. This topic of a shirk is a lengthy topic. The shaykh has summarized it here, showing the dangers of a shirk and the importance of knowing shirk and protecting oneself and one's family from it. We close, Yani, with the final topic from this discussion, and the last thing that the shaykh mentions here, من هم أهل الصراط المستقيم, and this topic also of great importance. Who are the people of أهل of the صراط المستقيم? The shaykh says, and we're gonna like, and he just kind of like read through it as quickly as possible.
We have 20 minutes?
But we have some questions also, because this is going to be our last session. We want to answer the questions for this session too, inshallah. He says, who are the Ahlul Sirat al-Mustaqim? Ahlul Sirat al-Mun'amu alayhim hum al-Madhkurun fi qawlihi ta'ala وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. يعني the people of the Sirat, those who Allah's favors are upon, are those who are mentioned in the saying of Allah the Most High, in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 69th Ayat, the meaning of which is, whoever obeys Allah and obeys the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then these will be with those who Allah has given His favors to, from amongst the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. Four categories of people: the prophets, we can't be from amongst them; the siddiqeen, yani it's possible that if a person is truthful in speech and truthful in action, and that speech and that action matches the truthfulness in one's heart, then they can be from amongst the siddiqeen; and the shuhada, yani the martyrs who gave their lives, yani the most precious of what a person has in this world for the sake of Allah; and the salihun, yani the last of those people, if we didn't fit in any other category, at least be from amongst those people who try to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely by engaging in those things that are pleasing to Him. Yani these are those who are the ahlu as-sirat al-mustaqim, yani the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed a person to travel on this sirat, then they should not feel lonely, even if they were alone. Even if they were in a city where there's nobody else walking on this path. Even if they were in a place where all the people are mushrikun, where all the people are ahl bidah. Even if they were alone, they shouldn't feel lonely. Because they are upon a path upon which the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous were upon. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an'amta alayhim, in this saying, yani those who you have given your favors to, in it is a dalala, an indication that the person who is traveling upon this straight path, their traveling upon it is itself a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that one is on this path, that is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ بِسُلُوكِ الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ مَا سَلَكَهُ وَلَا سَارَ فِيهِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَنْعَمْ عَلَيْهِ. Because indeed, if not for the ni'mah of Allah, the mercy of Allah upon a person, to enable them to travel upon this path, yani they would never have taken this path, nor would they have continued and remained steadfast upon it, but only it is, only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored them. And whoever is upon the straight path, know that, yani the first topic that we talked about concerning Sirat al-Mustaqim, when we began the second part of this course, was that traveling upon the straight path, it is in itself a ni'mah from Allah. Whoever is upon the straight path should know this is Allah's favor. This is a bounty, a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives to whoever He wills. Nobody is in and of itself deserving of it. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors those who seek His pleasure, who try to worship Him, who seek knowledge and try to act upon it with, yani giving them success of traveling upon this path. So no person would be considered as being one who is favored to be traveling upon this path except with two things: ilmun bilhaqi wa amalun bihi. This is very, very important, that no person is considered to be amongst those who are favored to be traveling upon the straight path unless they have these two affairs: knowledge of the truth and acting upon that knowledge. A person who doesn't have knowledge, it doesn't matter what deeds they do, Because a person can't act in a way that's pleasing to Allah except with knowledge. And a person who has knowledge, doesn't matter how much knowledge they have, if they don't act upon it. Because the knowledge will only be a proof against them if they didn't act upon it, as the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Quran hujjatun laka awalayka. These two are the affairs that enable a person to be considered as being favored with traveling upon the straight path, that is, knowledge of the truth and acting upon it. Ilmun yahdi al-abda wa amalun salihun yuraqqi al-abda. Yani, knowledge which guides the person upon this path and the righteous actions that elevate that person, yani, in their status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the ilm al-nafiyah is present, then it is necessary that a person act upon it. So if these two things are present, the beneficial knowledge and righteous actions, كان العبد من الماضين السائرين على الصراط صراط الله المستقيم. Only then is a person considered to be amongst those who are traveling upon the straight path of Allah, that is, if they have beneficial knowledge and they act upon it. The Shaykh says, finally, فَالنَّاسْ ثَلَاثَةُ أَقْسَامٍ. People are three, divided into three divisions. قِسْمٌ مُنْعَمٌ عَلَيْهِ, yani one division, those who Allah's favor is upon. وَقِسْمٌ مَغْضُوبٌ عَلَيْهِ, and a division of those who Allah's anger or wrath is upon. وَقِسْمٌ ضَالٌ, yani a division of those who are astray. The Shaykh defines those three groups. In brief, he says, وَالْمُنْعَمُ وَالْمُنْعَمُ عَلَيْهِ, the one who Allah's favor is upon, هُوَ الَّذِي مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعِلْمَ النَّافِيَ وَالْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ. He is the one who Allah has favored by giving him beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. وَالْمَغْضُوبُ عَلَيْهِ, those who Allah's anger or wrath is upon, هُوَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ لَا يَعْمَلْ بِهِ وَهَذَا فَسَادٌ العمل وفساد العمل وفساد القصد. يعني the second group or second division, those who Allah's anger is upon, are those who have knowledge of right guidance, but they didn't act upon it. So this entails فساد العمل وفساد القصد, meaning that this entails, يعني not only their actions are corrupted or invalid, because they didn't act upon the knowledge that they had. Rather, they acted contrary to that. But also their intention is also corrupted, because even though they knew the right way and they had the ability to follow the right way, their intent was not to follow it. The third group, وَآخَرُ ضَالُونَ, another group, yani those who are astray, هُوَ الَّذِي يَعْمَلُ وَلَكِنْ بِلَا عِلْمٍ عنده عبادات وعنده أعمال ولكن كله ضلال وكله بدع. The third group are those people who acted, yani they did deeds which they thought were good, yani they didn't have knowledge, they did what they thought was good, ولكن بلا علم, but they didn't act upon correct knowledge, their actions were not based upon correct knowledge. They had performed acts of worship and they did some deeds, but all of it was based upon misguidance and innovation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning these people in Surah Al-Kahf 103rd, 104th ayat, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ عَمَالًا. Shall we inform you of those who are, yani not just at loss, but the greatest loss, those who had the greatest loss, the greatest losers, in terms of their deeds, who did deeds but they are losers in spite of that. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Yani they are those whose efforts were wasted, were lost, went astray in the life of this world. They are those who thought that they were doing good. Yani they imagined that the deeds that they were doing, which were not based upon right guidance, yani they imagined, they considered that they were doing something good. These are the greatest of losers, people who were doing some deeds, but not based upon yani right guidance. Here the Shaykh, he closes by saying, so one must know, from this, one must know oneself, and must know one's great need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you from amongst those who has favored from the people of his straight path. Yani that we are in need of that. We have to acknowledge this, recognize this, and bring it to the forefront of our mind all the time. That we are in need, that Allah favors us by making us of those who are upon his straight path. Oh, how beautiful it is for the believer. And yastashir عظيم حاجته وشديد افتقاره للسير على هذا الصراط والثبات عليه إلى أن يلقى الله عز وجل وهو راض عنه. يعني oh how beautiful it is for the believer to be conscious, to be aware of his, of one's يعني great need, dire need of traveling upon this path and being steadfast and firm upon this path. Yani getting upon the path and then remaining firm upon the path until they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state or in a condition in which Allah is pleased with them. So this is the most magnificent of all favors, and it is the most noble of all bounties, and it is the greatest of the gifts, yani ala al-itlaq, yani absolutely. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, يعني the path of those who Allah has favored, يعني favored to be upon this path. This is, the Shaykh says, the greatest ni'mah, and it is the most noble of all bounties and the greatest of gifts, that Allah guides you to his straight path and then he makes you steadfast and firm upon that path until you meet him in a condition in which, or in a state in which he is pleased with you. And the Shaykh closes the last line, he says, وَفِي هَذَا السِّيَاقِ الْمُبَارَكِ عُرِّفَ الصِّرَاطُ بِأَنَّهُ مُسْتَقِيمٌ وَبِذِكْرِ أَهْلِهِ الْمُنْعَمِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَبِذِكْرِ الْمُنْحَرِفِينَ الْحَائِدِينَ عَنْ سُلُوكِهِ. That the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been defined, has been made known here by being described as being مُسْتَقِيمٌ, that it is a straight path. And it also has been defined by the mention of the people who Allah favored upon that path. This also defines the path, that there are people who are upon it. Yani the people who are upon this path are the people who Allah has favored, the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. And it is also known, this path is also known and distinguished by the mention of those who have deviated from it and turned away from traveling upon this path. That is the people who had knowledge of the right way but didn't act upon it, and the people who tried to do some deeds but without knowledge, based upon ignorance. This is the end of what we wanted to cover in this topic. And just now, we'll just, like normally in the following session, we will go over the questions related to some of the topics, but while it's fresh in our mind, inshallah, we're going to try to go over those questions now. Somebody please help me a little bit. These are the questions from the study guide for tonight's class. First question being mentioned, the second line of the saying related to knowing evil. Yani I learned evil not to do it but to guard myself from it. What was the second line? I learned evil not to do it but to guard myself from it. Even in English, what's the meaning of it? Because who, now, well, because whoever can't distinguish, whoever doesn't know the good from the evil, then he will fall into it, will fall into the evil. So it is incumbent upon us to know the evil, yani to know what is shirk, to know what is yani bid'ah, and so on. Whoever doesn't know it will fall into it. Question number two, mention the statement of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah related to the ayat, so know first that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and then seek forgiveness for your sins. Yani 49th surah, 19th ayat. What was the statement of Imam Bukhari in reference to this ayat? Bada? Bil-ilm.
That was before action.
Before speech and action. Naam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat began with the mention of knowledge before speech and action. Third question. Mention the example used by the author of how some Muslims, yani some people who identify themselves with Islam, engage in acts which are clear, obvious, evident shirk and clear kufr due to their utter ignorance of the deen of Allah. What example the Shaykh gave of this? And it's something that actually does happen in Muslim countries. People, the Shaykh didn't mention people who worship graves, but he mentioned, yani you could, maybe at the graves they do that. They raise their hands and they call upon other than Allah when they are in need. At the graves or other than at the graves, people are actually doing acts which are clearly worship, and they are offering it to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe we haven't seen so much of it here in this country amongst the Muslims. Forget about the Kafirs, but amongst the Muslims. But in many of the Muslim countries, in Africa and Asia and the Middle East, Muslims are engaging in open acts of worship, offering it to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 4. Discuss the answer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the question, which sin is the most severe with Allah? The hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Naam, that you make set up with Allah a rival or a partner or equal while it is He alone who has created you. Question number 5. List the 4 groups of people included in Ahlul Surat al-Mustaqim, those who Allah favors upon, in the 4th Surah 69th Ayat. The first of them is the Nabiyun, the prophets, and the second Siddiqun, the truthful, and the third of them the Shuhada, the martyrs, and the last of them the Salihun. The last question, discuss the 3 divisions of people as it relates to being upon Sirat al-Mustaqim. The 3 divisions of people. The first of them is those who Allah has given His favor to. Now, Mun'am alayhim. And the second of them, those who Allah's wrath or anger is upon. The third of them, the one who acts without now, the Dalun, now the people who are straight. Yani the people who Allah's favors upon are those who have beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. They acted upon it. And the people who Allah's anger is upon are those who had knowledge but they didn't act upon it.
No good intent.
They had no intent to act upon the right guidance that they had with them. And the third group who are astray, they are called astray because not because they didn't do any deeds, but because they acted without knowledge, without having correct knowledge. This is what we wanted to cover tonight. Normally, at the last session, we normally invite you to a dinner the next week. Allah musta'an, right? We'll try to make it up some other kind of way. And normally, when we have a dinner, we also give a gift to those who are regular in attendance. So, inshallah, we will give you a gift. I'll try to collect some kind of gift. It's normally a gift of knowledge. Because that's the most precious gift, right? The Salaf, they used to think that the most precious gift that one can give is a gift of knowledge. So sometimes one of the companions came to one of the people from the Tabi'een and he said, would you like me to give you a gift? And he said, sure, give me a gift. And he narrated to him a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. This was something that was pleasing to the people of the past. Knowledge. So the gift of knowledge is the gift that inshallah we want to give to those who have been consistent in spite of all the circumstances that we are under. But alhamdulillah, Allah has favored us to be able to spend this little bit of time together in these days for the past few weeks. And may Allah lift what has the affliction that has befallen the earth. May Allah relieve the Muslims particularly, and may Allah grant us patience. Whatever has befallen us, the hardship or difficulties that we may be subjected to or facing, and what may be ahead of us, may Allah grant us patience with it, and may Allah grant us success to accept that which He has decreed from that which we like and that which we don't like, knowing that whoever is pleased with Allah's decree, this is from the signs, the great signs of Iman. The Prophet ﷺ used to say, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. That I'm pleased with Allah as my Rabb. Meaning with Allah as the one who decides my affair. He has created me, He is the one who provides for me, and He is the one who decrees what will happen in my life. That which I like and that which I don't like, and I'm pleased with all of it. With Allah being my Rabb. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for the believer. And no thing will befall anyone. We believe this is our aqidah, except that Allah has decreed it. Nothing will befall us of afflictions except by the permission of Allah. And therefore, a Muslim's heart should be content with what Allah has decreed. Even when there's hardship, even when there's difficulty, even when there's loss of health or wealth or loss of lives, a Muslim is pleased with what Allah has decreed because we are pleased with Allah as our Rabb. So inshallah, next week I'm going to look for those of you who have been very consistent And there are a few people who, mashallah, was here for 7 weeks from the first one until the last one. And you know, we keep attendance. That's one of the reasons why we keep attendance. So somebody doesn't say, no, I was here every time. You probably forgot. No, I didn't forget. Because we write it down. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وبارك الله فيكم.